Hi.
Hey, buddy.
How'd that go?
What's going on? What you guys been doing?
What day is it?
Yep, that's question one.
It is a Tuesday, somewhere in the middle of July.
Okay.
Context clues.
What day is it in Mongolia?
Oh no.
It's a great question, Ryan. It should be, if I have this correct, it should be Wednesday, July 17th, 2:14 a.m.
Okay.
So you're back from the future.
I am back.
Jason, I'm really glad you said it like that.
Spencer, you nailed it.
I did?
Great job.
You nailed it this time.
I did this time, yeah.
How was your trip to Mongolia?
It's great. Business? Let's talk about the international dateline.
Spencer, what's the international dateline? I wasn't even going to ask.
So the way that time zones are built, it turns out that...
It turns out that breaking.
At one point you have to sort of, you know, advance time forward in order to keep everything in balance. So starting with Greenwich Mean Time, if you're listing things off, eventually you hit a point where you either go to 13 o'clock or you go to the next day. Basically, we have to decide that there's a point and it's the international dateline. And it's kind of like right in the middle of the Pacific. And I don't understand how it works.
This is all laid out in the documentary The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask.
This is all explained by Hulk Hogan, who said he once wrestled 400 times in a single year thanks to crossing this dateline.
So
I'm not going to make fun of him because I have a similar understanding of the international dateline.
Let's talk about how the rest of us came to be aware of this understanding, which is when the day before your departure from Mongolia you called me to ask if I could run a specific errand for you because you had told the subject of this errand that I don't want to make anybody, I don't drag anybody else's life into this. You told the subject of this errand that you were going to be back on the wrong day.
Monday. Yeah.
That you're going to be back on Monday. And I'm expressing increasing confusion throughout this conversation because you're going to be back on Sunday.
That's right.
And I said, Spencer, you're going to be back on Sunday. Why do you need me to do this for you on Monday?
Yep.
And you said, well, the international dateline.
Sure.
I said, Spencer, what's your flight number? And you said, you gave me your flight number. And I put it into the computer. Yeah. And it said, returns, like 5:43 p.m. Sunday, July 14th.
That's right.
And I said, Spencer, this says you get back on Sunday. And Spencer goes, yeah, but the international dateline.
I did.
And I said, Spencer, I'm pretty sure the airline return times are always written with the departure and the arrival in the local time of their respective airports. And Spencer goes, no, but you see, you crossed the international dateline.
That's right.
Yeah.
So what ended up happening is you were so, and I will say this, you were so confident in holding up the whatever your concept was of the international dateline in front of you like an amulet that I started to question my own grasp on both math and reality. And we got on FaceTime from the Incheon airport and finger counted.
That's correct.
Through all of your flights and layovers to figure out that no, it wasn't going to take you 60 hours. Yeah, that's the closest I've ever come in real life to the dumbest boy alive thread.
I was living.
I started to feel insane.
And of course,
here's the thing, though. The international dateline.
Right. So that's the thing that I've discovered. If you just say it, this is an argument stopper because he said this four or five times on me, and I started to become unmoored from time.
You should.
Spencer, can I ask a question? And I really ask this without any judgment.
Yeah, please.
Holly has walked this out with you over FaceTime, finger counting, etc.
Oh, I had to finger count it. Yeah.
I feel like you have accepted Holly's version of the world. But
thank you.
In full honesty, is there some part of you, even if it's only 5%, that's like, but the international dateline that still thinks you were right.
Fucking better be.
I currently have that part of me in a double chokehold and you know what it's, with both arms around its windpipe.
The international dateline.
And you know what it's doing? Right now it's going.
I think that it is such a the concept of thin places between between this world and the spiritual realm. That is what the International Dateline is, and I think we should not trifle it by trying to apply math to it.
The International Dateline.
You lived
is the
in Asia. You lived in Asia for a year.
Yeah, but you only have to go over once.
The International Dateline, and you return at a different time.
So, like, basically, you cross the international dateline. It takes a day from you, like a cat sucking breath from a baby's soul.
Perhaps.
And then you go back across it, and it returns the day to you once you've answered its riddles three.
Possibly.
So
scientists haven't gotten that far.
Mm-hmm. If you could fly a plane fast enough,
oh, this is some Langolier shit.
Could you travel forward or backwards in time at your own whim? By crossing again, the international dateline.
Hulk Hogan did that.
Okay.
Well, when Superman flew so fast that the Earth spun backwards and that time ran backwards.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This is why Barry Sanders was truly the fastest man to ever win the Heisman, because he accepted it in Tokyo.
In Tokyo, yeah.
He was literally ahead of everyone
else. Could this have saved the Pac-12?
Nah, they tried that. They did the Australia game.
Oh, Larry Scott, wastrel.
It just made Stanford real sweepy.
Do you know that they're working on a time zone for the moon?
Is it just Orlando's?
So
I can't tell if this is a bit.
This is not a bit. This is a thing that came up organically the other day.
How is it not Orlando time?
Well, there are a few wrinkles. One is that time does not move at the same speed. Well, time moves at the same speed, but a day is longer on the moon than it is on the Earth.
I know the feeling.
It's got an international dateline of its own.
A day on the Earth is 24 hours. Yeah. A day on the moon is 29.53 hours.
Yeah, Rip Torn covers this in Will Smith's onboarding in Men in Black.
No wonder Elon wants to go to space. He can get more hours per day out of working people.
Mm-hmm. The other question they haven't figured out is whether the moon will have one time zone or multiple time zones, which would potentially create a lunar international dateline.
I think it should have 29.
One for each hour?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I guess that would work.
Moon meridians.
I mean, fair is fair.
We're creating moon meridians.
I don't think it makes sense.
What day is it on the moon, Spencer?
I'm going to guess that it is Tuesday on the moon.
I have no idea.
What time is it?
Yeah.
What time is it on the moon? Wired has an article about this.
See?
I just give you the answer. That's when you know there's a problem.
This is helpful. Look, I know Google's struggling right now, but the first question under people also ask is, which day of moon is today?
My new approach is to just forward documentation to people, and they're going to tell me what time it is. That's it. I'll just forward documentation, arrange for my own transport, and when I show up, I'll just ask everyone what day it is.
So this is the reverse.
You were coming back on the wrong day, right?
This is the reverse of
taking a picture of you holding today's newspaper. This is you showing up and being like, give me today's newspaper.
No, I just travel like Memento in real time. Do not trust this man.
Right? His love is real, but he is a dork.
Yeah.
I think it's good. People like being experts, you know, and people like being consulted and like getting to show off their knowledge. So if the first thing they do is like explaining something to you, that's a great way to make friends.
I didn't enjoy this at all, but that might be just habit.
Well, I think it's because you underestimated the international dateline.
That's true.
God, that's true.
So many have.
Also because you're
the rare one to live to tell the tale.
You know who I ask questions now? That's right. Genghis Khan on my keychain. That's right.
The big man.
I ride with Khan now.
So what happens when you lose your keys? Is he offended?
Yeah, I die. Sorry.
He
appreciates loyalty. A real loyal soldier wouldn't lose the keychain of Genghis Khan.
I'm sure there's an answer in a Wikipedia that I don't want to look through here. But why did we decide, like, how did we decide where to put the dateline? You could put it anywhere. You could say, like, the international dateline runs through Orlando, for example.
Well, did the...
We determined that it must be as confusing as possible in Indiana and Arizona. That's the main thing.
Okay. So we should have put it in Kansas City, probably.
That would have helped.
Let's see if we can get that changed. International dateline, Kansas City. Half the country is experiencing one day. Half the country is experiencing another.
Oh, my God. Kansas City is already confusing enough. This is fine.
Yes, that's the other good part. Yeah. Which Kansas City? Who's to say?
Can we somehow shove the Cardinals into the resulting abyss?
Which ones?
And then kind of seal it up behind them.
Arizona or St. Louis?
Oh, shit. I meant baseball. But...
See? The international dateline.
Again, the international
dateline. Spencer, your keychains, those include keys that start cars?
Yes.
So not horses, mm-hmm. huh?
Mm. Yes.
Not horses.
So, sounds bit like of a showman.
You've already offended the big man, I think.
By the way, we just kind of agree on time zones. It's not like a matter of international law.
We don't agree.
I love it.
And the reason that it's in the middle is because mm-hmm. in the middle of the Pacific is because
isn't it there just because it's the opposite of Greenwich Mean Time?
Well, it's not just
that's
that.
Where
it's,
we, that's where we discovered it.
It's the fewest. There's the fewest land masses there, so I think they just put it out there because they were like, "I've been real confusing fizz in the middle of Europe." Fuck
they're
it.
Like, nobody will go here.
That's the worst. That's the worst reason. It'd be much funnier if you lived somewhere where you'd be like, you could hop from one side to the other and be like, Wednesday, Thursday, Wednesday.
Your
Thursday,
boss is like, "Why are you late?" "I'm not.
I'm not. I'm early. I'm off today." If I go to this side,
I'm leaving.
Just standing across, stepping across the line. Can't catch me.
Nobody wants to work nowadays because nobody knows which day it is.
Because what is nowadays? That's why it's nowadays and not that's nowadays. Right.
Country Western with that
little Elvis at the front.
To the shutdown forecast.
The blood red Kool-Aid stains matching your shirt to your mouth is really, it's really making
this. It's beautiful.
It's like a dog's tongue.
I'm so glad.
Does that
mean
it's a corkscrew or is that a duck's penis?
I missed y'all so much.
Listen. We miss you too, big guy.
We did not make any jokes about you dying, about mm-hmm. you getting None. Arrested. Like mm-hmm. we didn't wish you any ill, intentionally or unintentionally.
This whole
trip went completely normally until you were like halfway home.
Yeah, and even then it was pretty normal. It was just confusing for everybody else.
How many flights is that?
It was three on the way back. It was that two sucks. On the way over.
Four if you count the one to the capital, because you were out in the steppe, right?
Well, I did take, and there were two flights in country from Ulaanbaatar to Hovd. So, yeah, a grand total of seven flights.
Phew. And yes. Two international datelines.
And two international datelines and a lovely nap I had to take on a stone bench at Incheon Airport because... the nap room was full. Other than that, yes.
And the longest flights that you took did not have Wi-Fi, right? The Korean Air flights?
No, I did not raw dog those flights. I know that that's a trend from 2 weeks ago, but I am coming from the past.
I bring you news.
I bring you news.
No, future.
Well, I'm sorry. The future past.
Wrong way again.
Past future.
I think at this point, the big surprise would be I bring you news from right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I bring you news from Mongolia if you don't have Wi-Fi, you're going to watch a lot of shitty movies. Some good, some bad. They average out to mediocre. But I watched a couple of good movies and I watched a couple of bad movies. But do you know what you can reach for whenever you're on a flight and things are going badly and you're like, I'm going to spontaneously combust in the seat. That's how bored I am. Nope. You know what you can do? Ocean's 11, baby. Ocean's 11.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
I watched that Moneyball, and I will tell you, bro cinema got me through this flight. I applied nothing. I watched the Roundup series.
We can recreate the international dateline in the aggregate.
Yeah, that's correct. 1 hour at a time. How'd you know? I watched the Roundup series, the entire Roundup series, because it was Korean Air, so they had nothing but a bunch of kick-ass Korean action movies. So I watched Ma Dong Seok punch people so hard they flew like through bus windows. If you don't know him, he's the stocky dude from Last Train to Busan that beats the shit out of people. That's all he does in the Roundup, and he drops like witty lines, right? Like, your bus is here, and punches people into the bus. Then he's like, your bus is leaving, and he punches people out of the bus. I'll watch that. I'll watch it. Listen, that's how you get through a long international flight. Somebody will be like, you should meditate, or maybe you should sleep. I can't sleep on planes. You know what I do? I watch Bro Cinema. Bro Cinema will get you through any international flight.
That's honestly very good advice.
I have nothing negative
to say about it.
No, it was absolutely beautiful.
I think my favorite plane cinema move is watching one movie, keeping an eye on the movie someone in front of me is watching, and then rating them both on Letterboxd.
I always like looking over the shoulders of people who have like decided to, watch Gravity on a plane.
That sounds like
fun. Do you think it's weirder? All right. Do you think it's weirder to watch something like Gravity where it's like, oh, disaster that's, or like Flight or something where it's like disaster that's uncomfortably close to this, or to watch something heavily sexual? Like the time I saw somebody watching,
I've seen somebody watch E2 Mama Tambien on a plane.
Okay. I saw someone watch The Shape of Water on a plane.
Oh, she's going to fuck that fish.
Right.
So, the people behind you who don't know what that movie is are, they're either invested or covering their eyes, one of the two.
Yeah.
I had the choice of watching Zone of Interest, a movie about the Commandant at Auschwitz, and I instead immediately veered from that to watching Ocean's 11 because I did not like the idea of being trapped in my seat with that. Or someone else going, what the fuck is that dude? I don't want to be that guy either. I don't want somebody to look over and be like, is that dude watching Zone of Interest?
There should be special cartridges that you can buy and plug into these plane seats that have like the collected works of Werner Herzog. Like I should be able to watch Grizzly Man on a plane.
Unless you're like leaving home or like embarking or moving to a new place or something. If it's like a big life moment, you shouldn't have to have like feelings and thoughts on a plane.
No.
You should just be able to be like, yeah, it's Gone in 60 Seconds on a loop. We're fucking rocking out over here.
Well, I just
That's Timothy Olyphant. That's awesome.
I just saw like me watching Zone of Interest and like 40 minutes in looking over being like, ooh, Bean Bean Bop. You know? Ooh. That just felt wrong, right? Like, delicious rice and beef. Why I would love another cup of juice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just felt wrong.
Okay.
Yeah.
I assume that this is the full report of your trip and there's nowhere else to find more about it.
No, you can find out all you want by
subscribing to
Channel 6.
That's right.
It's like you planned this.
We did. You can go ahead and engage in this little bit of podcast business by subscribing to Channel 6, where we have audio diaries, and I'm working on an essay about my trip to see the Nadam Festival in Mongolia, where I scouted some of the stockiest and mightiest three-star fullbacks who are currently Mongolian wrestlers and other athletes at their summer festival of the manly arts. But yes, listen to the whole thing at Channel 6. Subscribe. Link in bio.
Probably.
Probably.
And additionally, you've been posting dispatches.
Yes.
So it's more than just one post, folks.
Folks, there's like eight of them. Yeah, there's a lot. I went there. Brian Phillips came along with me because sometimes you say, hey, I'll go to Mongolia with you for fun. And you get there and you're like, oh my God, I'm in Mongolia for fun. that was a lot of fun. It was great.
I would respect it if you went all the way to Mongolia and came back and just wrote like a 400-word straightforward blog post. That was it.
Or no, you just like straight up record the results.
Yeah.
This guy won, scoring this many points.
What time is the Mongolian Super Bowl?
What time is the Nadam Festival actually ended up being a great question.
That would have been helpful.
Because of the international
deadline. Really
nothing to do with Spencer. Spencer ran up on some international Spencers.
Mm.
Yeah, who said, they were like, so we got to our campsite that was going to be
There's a new political party that is just taking control in Mongolia.
Right.
I think is the only backdrop that you need to this information.
Yeah, and everybody wants to impress them. So everybody's inviting them to their various Nadams and they're moving the dates around. So we got to our campsite, pitched a tent. And it was like, yeah, there's going to be one in this town tomorrow. And by the time we were done pitching our tents, it was like, yeah, there's not going to be one. Nothing. They're moving it today. Sorry. You got to go. So even the dates were sort of fluid, flexible. Mm-hmm. By the way, Mongolians do sort of function like I do. According to my guide, his wife just one day was like, hey, man, we should go out to the country. And he's like, okay, how about next week? And she's like, we're leaving tomorrow. So they just packed everything in and went away for 2 weeks on like 24 hours notice. They just went out to the sticks and like camped for 2 weeks. I was like, how did it go? And he's like, it was fine. It's fine. I was like, that's right. That's right. Also, really, somebody should open up Bass Pro Shops in Ulaanbaatar because it would be the most popular. Like, they buy so much camping gear. Like, holy shit.
Why not me? You are the bridge between these two cultures.
It was one of my two business ideas that I was assuming were going to be wildly successful. This one was the one from the United States to Mongolia. Transfer, take the Bass Pro Shops franchise, bring it to Mongolia, and call it, like, you know, this would be the Genghis Khan store, right?
Mm-hmm. Umbrellas.
Yes.
Instead of a pyramid, it's one of those huts. Yeah.
Right. It'd be a yurt. A yurt.
Khan Bella's is very good. I Khan just Bella's wanted to go back and flames. It took me a second. It's that's really flames. Good.
I do want to know if there are Burger King knockoffs there called Burger Khan.
No, there are Khan everything else. There's a Khan Bank. There's a Khan Irish Pub. That's my
Sir
favorite
Khan
one.
Air.
Yeah.
Oh, Khan.
The Grand Khan Irish Pub. Sure. Yes, Tatey's like Genghis liked them.
Tell me more about the Khan Irish Pub.
It is. Oh, it's like a huge, like longtime standard of Ulaanbaatar nightlife and bar culture. It is just a big ass Irish pub that has like a 30-page menu where you're like, I would like a traditional Mongolian hershor, right? Like a meat pie. And then 2 pages later, it's like, would you like filet mignon? And then 2 pages later, it's like, would you like Chinese food? It's a massive menu.
Sound like the Cheese Con factory.
There we go. It is.
Kublai Khan himself blessed this cheesecake.
And on this plate we have, on our table, we have an entire golden horde of meals.
Golden Corral. That's what it's named for.
A pint so big it would stagger Ogadai Khan himself. Yes. Ogadai Khan, by the way, if you want the Khan who wants to party, it's Ogadai Khan. Ogadai Khan was the guy who got so fat he couldn't get on one of their horses. Ogadai Khan drank so much that he built a peacock fountain made of gold and jewels that dispensed booze like 24/7. Like it just, you just walked in and like filled your mug with wine from this thing.
I bet they have that at Fanatics headquarters, frankly.
They probably do. I bet the wine sucks too. You're like,
Oh, yeah.
It used to be good, but now this tastes like shit. You're like, Fanatics, baby. That's the magic.
Why is this wine misspelled?
The label's off kilter? That's the magic, baby.
How does wine taste misspelled?
I'm so fucking drunk, I can see through baseball players' pants.
Can't wait till they get a hold of everybody. And I'm like, I can't wait to get my Florida Rotag shirt. That's great. Rotags. There's that. The other business idea I had was they make Genghis Khan beer in Mongolia. And Brian and I were kind of like throwing back pitches for this. And his pitch was very like, we have an atmospheric ad, right? Like we have, like, we make this like a luxury brand where, you know, there's like a distant step and the smoke and the rain. And then you see a horseman appear and it's like Genghis Khan beer. Meanwhile, I was like, no, man, take it lower. We need to get everybody at tailgates to be like, woo, I'm riding with Khan. You know, like, you go like, hey, man, I want some beer. We don't
have
any beer.
Well, I got Khan's in low place.
Exactly. I'll be like, my baby wants some jeans and she wants the Khan. Yeah.
Thank God I'm a country boy. Now that the entire internet has moved on to biting our habit of using AI to write country songs, we have to shift our own songwriting window. So this is just our next platform.
Listen, we did it before it was destroying the power grid. Okay,
you know, yeah, we did it before it was destroying the power grid. But I gotta say, the one about drunk driving is really good.
I think we did it when we didn't know it was AI. You know, it was like we were like, "Oh, this is just this website does words and it's funny." Mm-hmm. So it was fine that we did it. Mm-hmm.
The only thing riding with the con's going to destroy is an ancient Persian empire and and maybe your bad times. Because when you ride with the con, it's nothing but good times.
Thank God I'm comfortable.
At the very least, this is a line of t-shirts that you can sell for sure.
Riding with the con.
Well, yeah, like those animal. You remember those animal shirts where things burst out of the fabric of the shirt, like a deer antlers, but it's just a bunch of dudes on horses and their spears are tearing the shirt apart.
Mm-hmm. Holly, we're gonna make thank God I'm a country boy.
Merch. Yeah, that's happening.
We're gonna figure that out.
Wait, can that be? Is that the key missing piece to the Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken design?
Maybe it is. Who's to say?
Just like, thank God I'm a country girl.
Thank God I'm a country
girl. Got horse in the stable and horse on the griddle. Yeah.
Jesus.
Delicious. Delicious.
Oh. I ate some horse this trip. It's fine.
Gotta lose your head if you're caught in the middle.
Thank God I'm a country boy.
Just blood-curdling screams in the back.
I'm sure we have more podcasts. I know we have more podcast business to get to, but we're not going to do more podcast business because I have an important update from the fine city of Nashville.
Oh, no.
This is the subject line and the email preview of a Nextdoor email I received. On principle, I don't open Nextdoor emails, so I'm not going to give you... I'm not going to give you any more detail than what this says. Subject: Goodbye Nashville! ! Preview.
Oh boy.
After 10 years of being your snake lady.
What?
That's snake and lady both capitalized at the front. Mm-hmm. I am so incredibly sad to end of preview. After 10 years of being your snake lady, I am so incredibly sad to set the end.
I'm kind of glad you didn't open that, both for normal next door safety reasons and also because there's nothing that could possibly live up to my imagination right now.
No. I hope I get inundated with people from Nashville who are like, snake lady, that's this, that. How do you not know about snake lady?
Mm-hmm.
But like, frankly... If we've had a snake lady here for 10 years and nobody has told me about, like, that is on you.
She's not really your snake lady, is she?
No, yeah. I didn't vote. I don't remember voting for snake lady.
I mean, she might be such a part of the tapestry of your day-to-day life that you take her for granted, Ryan.
It seems that I have, because after 10 years of being my snake lady, she's incredibly sad to say.
Yeah, she should be.
Yeah.
After you again.
I don't want to get derailed too much into talk of the video game. When I know not everybody's had a chance to jump in yet, but does this have anything to do with both Snake Rattle and Roll and Cobra Triangle dropping for Nintendo Switch Online?
Wow. That is a game that I have not thought about in a long, long time.
Unclear. Data needed.
Is that why she's Snake Lady? Maybe. Who's to say?
Yeah.
Here's my question. If you had to guess.
Is her watch finished now that these games are returned to us?
Do you think Snake Lady owns snakes? Catches snakes or does snake things but is not involved with snakes
come
whatsoever.
Come on.
Oh, Jason's waving me off. I hate all these pitches. Good.
She is a snake.
She is a snake.
Yeah.
Is she half snake, half woman or just snake?
No, yeah, I didn't see a hyphen in there.
Got you. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah. Holly with keen editor's eyes always.
Super R-Type is also in one of the Switch Online bundles. That's got a big old snake in it.
Snake Lady is not super my type. I gotta tell you.
How do you know?
I just you check in every now and again. You try to say.
Walk into that bar and you're like, look at that thing with no arms.
Where am I on the Snake Kinsey scale? And right now it's zero. I gotta tell you.
No comment.
Is it hey, Kinsey? It's raining like in Georgia. S's. That never happens.
The Kinsnake scale.
Yeah, it's getting real dark here.
It hasn't rained in like a month.
Yeah. So. If only there were a song about this.
Yeah, the Counting Crows did it. It's called Raining in Baltimore.
Rainy Night of Moron. That's the Mongolian version.
Is that Rainy Night of Morons?
There's a town called Moron. Moron, Mongolia. Yeah.
There's a Moron in the Book of Mormon, if I recall correctly.
Moroni. Yeah. It's an angel. the angel Moroni, M-O-R-O-N-I.
It's straight up moron.
There's a moron as well?
Moron is the name of a location and a king in the Book of Ether in the Book of Mormon.
Oh, because there's also an angel Moroni in the Latter-day Saint.
Moron is described as doing that which was wicked before the Lord. What a fucking idiot. I guess that's how he got that name.
Classic moron.
What's his name, Joe? Moron. King moron.
Look at fucking king moron over here.
Comes home from work. Honey, they said I'm king.
This is the overlap between Joseph Smith and Hideo Kojima. That's where they meet. What's his...
Finally.
This guy likes to fight. What's his name? Dave Fightman. And Hideo Kojima is like, that's brilliant. So brilliant.
He's one of the U.S.'s highest power brokers.
President Fight Man.
The battlefield is his home.
Soldiers have no home, though. We're walking to Utah.
With a baby strapped to our chest.
So, please tell me more about Snake Lady. I need to know.
Is it solid
Snake Lady?
If you want, I will click it. Like, if it's for the good of the show,
But for the good of the show, listen, you rolled out Snake Lady's intrigue.
Okay. All right. I need to know more. Okay.
Hold on. I accept full responsibility if this makes all of our lives worse. That goes for the entire full cast, by the way.
Okay.
Great.
Goodbye, Nashville. After 10 years of being your Snake Lady, I am so incredibly sad to say I'm leaving and moving cross country. I'll miss you all. We're moving on Monday morning. Today we're having a yard sale at a friend's house. Stop by address if you want some fun stuff for under a dollar. And then there's just like her Venmoing
cat. Snake stuff?
It unclear. Huh.
Mm.
So what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to Google any of this. That was all the information she wanted to provide.
It does not provide any other information whatsoever.
Okay.
At all.
Man.
I'm just going to sit with this information.
So, like, I think it's entirely possible that Jason is right, and this is a snake living as a woman in Nashville, well, soon to be across country.
Yeah, not Nashville, but everything else is correct. And her stuff is cheap, so.
Snake lady.
Yeah. Be like, look, dead mice under a dollar.
Under a dollar.
Yeah. She's leaving. She doesn't need them all.
Spencer, you're saying that with the red Kool-Aid?
I'd be a fool.
I need mice.
Blood maw.
Deal twice the price.
I mean, come on. This face usually indicates I need mice. Right?
I like imagining we get to the end of the year.
It's me erasure.
Spencer's meeting with his accountant, and his accountant's like, okay. I see you didn't make any contributions to your IRA this year. He's like, aha, but thousands of dead mice. That's what I've acquired instead.
When I flip those.
Flip these mice.
Wow. It's really close. It's mouse flipping. That's
yeah, you laugh. But the past 20 years of the American economy has basically been, hey, but when I flip this.
I think if you can tent your fingers just so and go on TikTok and say mouse arbitrage, you could probably turn this into a side hustle.
Probably can. What are founders thinking about mouse arbitrage? What are founders thinking about rodent exchange?
We didn't need do to stop thinking. Times.
Yeah, you need to stop ratting on your friends and think about your friends who are rats. That's what you need to do.
Wow. So powerful. So powerful.
So powerful. So LinkedIn, 458 likes.
Which that's everyone on LinkedIn. That's a pretty good post.
So can I cut to the game now? Because I have questions.
You gonna cut to the feeling?
I'm gonna cut to the feeling.
Oh, that's which is cute.
Can I tell you what's weird to have on your to-do list for the week?
Hmm.
Like, buy a PlayStation. Laundry. Grocery run. Buy a PlayStation.
I thought you were going to say go to the Carly Rae Jepsen concert after the Nats play the Reds this Friday, which is a real thing.
Seeing as we're cutting to the feeling.
Yeah.
That would be weird. It is weird to have a, it is weirder though to have buy a PS5 like it's a grocery item, right? Like eggs, milk, family necessity, PS5. Mm-hmm.
Candles.
Can please help my family.
Mouses.
Mice. My family is dying. Someone help me.
Listen, that's an investment, not a luxury good.
Yeah.
Buy as many as you can.
It has better original games.
Mouse?
Mouse.
Yes. Dead Mouse does.
Mouse. Oh, this is
sorry, we're getting way off track here.
This what is PlayStation you... versus Xbox is what we're okay. saying there.
Holly, yes. How did what did you acquire a PlayStation 5?
Oh, no, I'm just saying it's a fun thing to have on the to-do list.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
okay.
So it will happen. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I still
I have not jumped in yet.
Okay. Yeah, I still need one because I just got back and realized that you're like, oh man, I want to play that game. Oh no. I saw a guy, it's one of the best series of quote tweets I've ever seen. I saw a guy who was like, hey, did they make the new NCAA game for last gen? And the quote tweets are all like Terrence Howard looking at Tate Diggs and going, do you need some money?
There was so much like genuine affection and concern in that thread. Like I felt like the dunk ratio was fairly low.
Yeah,
it was all people like, man, are you okay?
That's or probably there's probably an eBay scam going on right now where people are purporting to sell PS4 compatible NCAA 25.
Oh
right?
Shit, we should have done that.
Yeah,
damn it. A lot of people.
Instead, we sunk all our money into mice.
Yeah. Well, instead, yeah. No, I'm sorry. Rodent arbitrage.
That's just when you put mice in the freezer.
Yes. Cryptocurrency.
Right. Ah, yeah.
God damn it.
You two haven't played it. I haven't played it. Jason, have you played the game?
So I would say that we, the four of us, have averaged about 3 or 4 hours of playing.
So in a way, us not playing the game is really doing you a great service.
Yeah. You make me sound normal. Thank you.
As of recording, Jason, by the way, has had the game in his hands for less than 24 hours.
Yeah.
I presume that he probably slept 6 hours at least.
I worked all day this morning. So yeah, I did a normal day of work. Once every couple months, I just sort of just like opt out of sleep. It's no thing.
Okay.
It's just a thing.
You did.
The game is beautiful. The game is wonderful. The game is lovely. It's everything we were waiting for. But my alma mater is in a video game for the first time ever. It's cool. The value of my degree is skyrocketing between that and there's a pro wrestler who went there. So between those two things, we're basically an Ivy League school now. I put all the conferences back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I put all the conferences back where they should be.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, it was
wait, going back to when? 92, 98?
I mean, I went to like 5 years ago.
Okay,
I mean,
perfect.
Honestly, okay. if we were going to do it legit, it'd be back to 91, of course. But
I would prefer to just take it back to before when I had to know what the AAC was. That's kind of when I started to lose my grip.
I think the max number of teams you can have independent is like 24. I think it's supposed to be 20 per conference is the max. I think I squeezed in a few more independents while I was messing around. So you can get pretty close to like 80s, 70s if you want. But then
I just want
instead
the
of that,
back.
You could make it. You just have to call it something else.
Yeah.
But I set up a 3-tiered promotion relegation system. Nebraska's in Conference USA. For instance, then I have the ACC is just the on deck circle. If you don't make the cut, you're in the ACC.
I mean, come on.
They're the ones who wanted to be national, so they get
their
ULM
important.
And Hawaii again. There's the back.
I will be terrified if you sim out an entire season with Nebraska in the Conference USA and they're like 4 points from being promoted, right? But
they're so close.
No. Funnier answer is Nebraska runs the table in Conference USA.
Yeah, and the reward is getting promoted to the Big 12, which is now a second tier league.
Where they go 4-8. Where they immediately too hard! Too hard!
Too hard! Oh, God. You know, this next week of workouts doesn't seem too bad. Ow!
So hard!
Oh, God!
It's summer. Major League Baseball's in full swing, and there's one app for you if you want last-minute deals on Major League Baseball games, and that's GameTime.co. That's right, GameTime.co. I'm looking at the app right now, and I'm picking out America's team, really, the Kansas City Royals. And at Kauffman Stadium, just in a couple days, there's tickets available for $16. And then, well, I don't want to up the stakes too much here, but let's go to next week. It looks like they're playing the Chicago White Sox. There are tickets available right now for $3. You could see a Major League Baseball game in Chicago for $3. What stadium, you ask? Not important. It's in Chicago. But GameTime.co is not just for Major League Baseball games, even though you can get great deals for that. You can also get great deals for concerts, football games. Those are going to be coming up pretty soon. You can find them on GameTime.co. I use GameTime.co to purchase last-minute tickets for an Olivia Rodrigo concert. Tyler Childers did not show up at mine. That would have been awesome, but it was awesome nonetheless. And GameTime.co made it super easy. I got my parking through GameTime.co, and I got great tickets for my wife and I. GameTime.co made all of that so easy, and one of the greatest concert experiences I've ever had in my entire life. And I'll be using them again. In fact, I'm seeing a little bit called The Beaches in late September. And where did I get my ticket? That's right, even ahead of time. I didn't wait till the last minute, because GameTime.co has you covered then as well. That's what I love about it. Whenever I want to get a ticket for an event, whether I heard about it months before and procrastinated to no end and have left myself in a lurch, you can save up to 60% off buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, anything else. So take the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets with GameTime. You can download the GameTime app, create an account, and use code FULLCAST for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code FULLCAST for $20 off. Download GameTime today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
The other genre of reaction to the game that I have really enjoyed is from people who are super excited to get it, super excited to start playing it, and are immediately like, fuck, this is hard. Fuck yay. Yeah. God damn it.
I'd barely played a football video game for 11 years. Like, the few times it did, it was like me losing to Spencer in NCAA 14, like every few years. Other than that, I sort of feel like I've never played a video game before. And then the one thing they did that is it's weird. Like, you kind of lose muscle memory, but then you don't, because like on a read option, they switched. Like, it used to be A to hand off. Now it's A to keep, right?
Mm,
I think I have that right. Whatever it is, it's the opposite of what it used to be. And it's completely fucking broken my brain. Like, I can't run the option right now.
Because you can't like turn your frontal lobe off and just like, you can't like Jedi mind trick it.
Right.
Right? You have to like use all the front of your cerebrum right now. That sucks.
I feel like I'm calling out the fucking mic when I call an option. I'm like standing there like, if that guy stays put, don't push any buttons. Saying this out loud to myself.
Yeah.
Like, you're psyching yourself.
Like looking at both of your hands like, don't you fuck this up.
Don't push that. Putting tape over it and shit.
This is like how 16-year-olds drive, where it's like, okay.
Left turn. Blinker on.
Signal. Now.
Ignition.
I heard a lot of people complain that they can't kick anymore.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. It takes a second to get used to, but like, I don't know. I think I got it down pretty quickly.
But it's my the only question thing I'm is, good at. I appreciate this though. As a matter of game design, I will never have any problem with you making kicking as fucking hard as possible.
Yeah,
because coward, why are you doing it anyway?
I think I've seen this is the only football game like I think I've seen where like the computer is just bricking punts off the side of the stadium and spraying field goals everywhere. It's pretty realistic.
I like that they designed college kickers as college kickers, right? Like, here comes a guy who's a random event generator. Let's see what he does.
I think he's deleted it. I don't think he will care if I bring it up here. Alex Kirshner wrote that he started the game. He started just to like play now with Maryland, his alma mater.
Did he delete this?
I think I can't find it. But again, I think he's going to be fine with this. He's playing Rice, he kicks off to start the game. On his very first play of NCAA 25, this game he's been waiting for forever, some white receiver on Rice runs it back for a touchdown.
Some fucking nerd.
That's it.
That's what you get for messing with the staple food.
Welcome to the
game.
But
you fuck with the rice, with whatever the fuck a rice owl is, you don't want any part of it.
You wanted the game so bad, didn't you? Now eat it. Eat every bite.
Eat your rice.
You forgot you were Maryland.
You lost your food.
In this game, defense is so hard that special teams is hard. Let's put it that way.
Yes, I have heard. If the other team is running hurry up on you, you are fucking cooked.
Hurry up is, yeah, it's legit. It's it's effective. It's also the massive difference. I played as UTSA, just sprinted through a season. Mm-hmm. Like going on the road to like Texas State, and the announcers are like, "Oh, this is a big time rivalry," and then there's like 5,000 people in the stands,
yes,
and everything looks cool and beautiful. And yeah, then the next game is on the road at Texas, and all your players are like clearly forgetting what play you're running. All of those don't work. Like, you don't know which button is which receiver. Like, you better memorize your play before you go out.
Yeah, like if you're the quarterback, if you like check the play, sometimes the play will be wrong because
yeah,
you're confused.
Yeah, and it's like
and
flipping
scared
back and forth. Everyone is hallucinating, and it's like the old 2000s NCAA with the wiggly lines. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it's that meets hallucinogens.
Yeah,
I hope there's a like a random event generator built in somewhere in the engine that does this harder in Lubbock than anywhere else for no reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. At night,
there it's like the, night, yeah. The red dust clouds booming
yeah
forth.
Yeah, the haboob.
Yeah,
the game's been interrupted by a haboob.
What? There's 8 foxes on the field. This is crazy.
That reminds me. If anybody gets a surrender cobra, please send it to me so that I can tell my mom I'm in the game.
Oh, man. That'd be good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, people will absolutely send them because it is in there.
Yeah.
I'm in the game.
The other things I've seen that I've really enjoyed and can't wait to experience, everyone running RPO has no fucking clue what they're doing.
Yeah.
Everyone I've seen running RPO is like, snap. Like, it's a lot like those Daffy Duck Porky Pig cartoons where it's like, snap, parry, thrust, forward. Like it's somebody doing a lot of things, and it just ends with interception.
In my main dynasty.
Devastating sack.
My main dynasty, as if I'm.
I was going to say, you. Okay.
As if I'm really invested in this one. In like, I was like, all right, let me.
You've had the game for 11 hours, basically, Jason.
I'm going to roll out
my main dynasty.
I'm going to roll out Jamie Chadwell's playbook, and then it's like, oh, fuck this shit. We're going back. We're dial it down. Week 2, we're switching to Gus Malzahn's playbook. Oh, God, this is too much. Week 3, give me fucking Jim Harbaugh's playbook. Some good American football that I can understand.
This is kind of beautiful because there's a level on which it's kind of giving you an emotional window into the coaches who get real fucking worked up having to play these guys.
Yeah.
Like, well, we've talked before about like coaches being like, Gus is gonna run some high school shit. Oh Jesus Christ, he's running some high school shit.
Yeah, yeah.
The only honest pass is toss sweep.
I played the FCS East Astronauts and they're a Flexbone team, and it's like it's very much the sensation of like, oh, you see how this is now, huh? Yeah. This fucking sucks, doesn't it? Like this,
you're like, I can't.
This fucking white boy number 40 is just trampling my team, running straight up the middle of the field.
You're like, I can't wait till the fourth quarter when I can. You're like, I can't wait till I get to the fourth quarter when he gets tired and I can paralyze this kid and get him off the field.
Jesus.
This fucking dude playing for the Astronauts has 150 yards, running straight like forward.
The only thing that stopped him was that he cramped from running too far.
He ran out of fucking milk.
Getting diced up by Space Force over here.
Yeah, exactly. Finally, my 300-pound, 3-star defensive tackle fell on his knee sideways, and I'm like, oh, thank God. Oh, God.
Yeah, I'm switching to the Flexbone for sure. See how much it sucks.
People have very – I also enjoy that people have very very personal plays that they're running for. They're like, what did you do first? Luke Zimmerman, longtime friend of the program, was like, yeah, with Ohio State and all the receivers in the world, you know what I ran? Halfback dive, baby.
That's
halfback
right. Halfback
dive.
That's right.
For first play.
Throwing the ball is scary. That shit happens. Just keep running it. You get 4 yards.
We're turning every this game's turning everyone into like Woody McCorvey 2002, like Mississippi State's offensive coordinator, who's like belt suspenders, pants ain't gonna fall down, run it, punt on third down,
yeah.
Inside trout, baby.
I might just play as Iowa because fuck it, I'm not scoring anyway.
Yeah, there was another. I'd have seen people playing with Iowa and. They seem to be having a grand old time cosplaying as, because if you play as the team, you want to cosplay as them. You want to play as much like them as possible. Jason, you and I have played previous iterations of this game before, and I will absolutely do that no matter who we're playing. If it's Texas Tech, I'm going to run the ball four times, right? Because it was like, on accident. if I fumble and I have to recover it and cannot, that's when we run. If you do like a serious run heavy team, I will pass the ball four times. That's what we'll do. Everybody who's playing with the most Cro-Magnon team seems to be having a delightful time.
My kid played her very first football video game ever. As soon as it downloaded, like someone called, so I was like, hey, here you go. So she was the first one to play it. She played as USC, got a couple touchdowns.
See, Clay Helton? Can't be that hard.
Yeah, I mean, it's Lincoln Riley. I think she's doing better than him. Defense worked out about the same.
Yeah, I was going to say, Lincoln Riley's had this game for a while, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
He's been playing this. I can't play defense.
The game didn't actually go away for all of us, I think.
I suffer weird losses when the computer says I'm going to have two of them on the season. Yeah.
Recruiting is back. It works. It's kind of like a combination of all the previous ones. There's like a DM, the player. You know, like they've updated the language a little bit. But I swam through a season as UTSA, had a top 60 recruiting class, felt really good, got that Memphis job offer, and I was like, it is just disgusting and disgraceful that the media is trying to tear down what we have built here in San Antonio. They're going to have to shoot me to get me out of this job. Mm-hmm. I am just delighted and proud to be the new head coach at the University of Memphis. this is the only job I would have left for. And I walked in the door, looked at the recruiting board, and I was like, what the fuck have y'all been up to? Like, it was GIF walking in and everything's on fire. I was like, I should have stayed, man. I need to crawl back home.
How'd you get a one-star punter?
It was like, I see why the previous guy got fired, I guess.
When you're recruiting, is it true that you get DM'd by, like, ladies?
That's in a single-player mode.
In single-player mode,
I haven't done any of that, where it's like, you know, you're the quarterback and you're trying to – you're like, a freshman and working your way up to starter or whatever. But, like, someone posted a video of, like, someone who was, like – their character was like flirting with someone and then they did this weird ramble and they got blocked and it's like this huge it's like the same like effect of like Elden Ring, you have died, it pops up blocked.
You like he got shut down by an imaginary lady on DMs as a recruit.
EA,
like, as a jock.
EA, if this isn't in there, put it in there in a patch. Let people get catfished in the game.
Catfished. Also, if you don't go to class, of course, it pops up. GPA down.
Drop.
Oh, wait, say, GPA decrease. There, it's my home
is
screen.
Is there a voice? Is there a voiceover when it says GPA down, or is it just
I hope
an
there
on-screen
is.
Text?
I haven't seen it in the actual game yet. I haven't, but.
Crucial question. How are the academic rankings?
Seeing as I play as Conference USA teams, I don't know. We don't really worry. We tend to steer recruits toward other areas
Life
of interest.
Works a little differently.
Why is my academic ranking mind your business?
I don't look at that shit. I just say, hey, look at proximity to home. So I'm not recruiting any further than 5 miles away from campus.
Sure. Okay.
My favorite reaction so far, I think if I had to pick one, has to be Mike Craven, who's a college football editor at Dave Campbell. And he's getting ready to head out for media days. And his wife asked him, why are you packing the PS5? And he says, a new college video game comes out this week during SEC media days. And his wife goes, but you're not a gamer. And Mike goes, sit down for a second. everybody who's got to have people have had it conceivably since the last game came out, you could have met and married a partner
had
and
a
have
kid.
Kids in, have sure. kids in middle school.
So you're like,
who don't know about like, oh, it's time to go back to the old me.
So mm-hmm. you got
to
come out as a gamer.
Like you, mm-hmm. you got to pull your, you're pulling your bulletproof briefcase from under the loose floorboard, and like,
Dad, why is there a GameCube in the closet?
Let me tell you about something, son. A long time ago, I made some mistakes in Belfast.
Anyway, the point is a history of violence, but with the Stanford tree on the stairs.
Yeah, that is 100%. It's just like telling people that you were in the IRA. You have to be like, sit down.
Under John Wick's floorboard is a power pad.
I used to repair clocks for my friend Jerry.
Surely you know someone who can fit a timer.
Yeah.
That does make me realize what a cruel fate it is for the student athletes who have been brought to SEC Media Days right as this game drops.
No one cares.
Well, no, on the bright side, they're probably not, you know, they're not expected at Two-A-Days right now, right?
So that's true.
Once you're out of the interviews, what do you have to do but sit in your hotel room?
You're right.
Like, this is probably the easiest disciplinary week they've ever had at SEC Media Days because nobody's going out to drink. Nobody's trying to order tequila flights from room service. Everybody, like, you know where all your kids are going to be at bedtime.
You're right.
They brought the game to their hotel room, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Surely, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I would never, you would never have to do bed. They might not do bed checks this entire season at certain schools if they just bring a flotilla of PlayStations along on every road game.
They'll do bed checks, but it'll be, hey, go to sleep.
Go
hey,
to fucking sleep.
Hey, go to bed.
Go to sleep, you nerds.
But I just got offered the Temple job.
Go to bed. That job sucks.
Coach, this is a better job than you ever got. Coach, we'll go to bed if you can beat us.
Oh, that's how
Coach,
we get in trouble.
Coach, didn't you lose to these guys?
Then you come back 4 hours later and Coach is playing.
Coach, didn't these guys say you were a cancer?
Coach, log off and go to sleep.
Coach, look what the game's saying about you.
Wait, where is Jeff Tedford? Not Jeff Tedford, I'm sorry. Jesus, apologies, Jeff Bowden. I'm really sorry to hear
I know what Jeff Tedford. Bowden's doing this week, baby.
I'm really locked in. Locked in.
I am really sorry to hear about Jeff Tedford. That fucking sucks.
Oh, that does
Jeff
suck.
Bowden is a special teams coordinator. Wait. He's been out of he's still at a job. Still,
yeah, you know what special teams he's coordinating? Those ones in the PS5. Wait, that's what he's doing.
His brother hasn't been there in like 5 years.
Yeah, he's gone. I was looking at the preview on Google before.
No, but it's is he okay. This is baffling.
Is Jeff Bowden unaccounted for?
Jeff Bowden, three paragraphs on his wiki. One of them is about nepotism. I think that's right.
One of them should be. One of them should be about NCAA 14, just a real legacy.
Yeah, I mean, do you know who's learned a lot about football by playing video games? It's Jeff Bowden.
That's true.
Because I know he didn't learn it coaching it. So
that's true.
Yeah, I want to get to certain things about the game. One of them is the drum line. I've seen multiple TikToks praising the drum line. They're like, whatever drum line they got recording this, cooked.
The menu music is all drums all the time.
I'm pretty sure one part of the drum line or part of the recording was a high school in Nashville. I don't think I made that up.
Ooh, really?
It might have been NBA.
Oh, God, really? What a waste.
I mean, it's good.
I could have that wrong. Father Ryan's band.
I believe
that's almost as bad, but at least funny.
Well, to make up for that, I believe part of it was done by a DCI band, the Blue Devils.
The Blue Devils did that. That's much better.
Okay.
Although Father Ryan is known in certain corners as Father Rehab, so maybe that goes. Do they not still call it that?
No, they do.
Okay, just checking.
They do. I just didn't want to blow up high school students like that.
Yeah,
we had songs about it.
Yeah, part of it's done by the Blue Devils. Another thing I've seen that people absolutely love is they love celebrations and the fact that they got every single mascot right. Like Goldie will rotate his head. Mm-hmm. If you see Goldie will flip his head around.
Dude, do they have inflatable Lil Red going upside down in the stands?
There's so much shit. Like if your punt team runs out of bounds and like bonks into the mascot. They interact. So, like, I don't know if you can flatten a mascot, but they will, like, jostle their way past each other. Yeah. So, you can put hands on a mascot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I can't wait to unlock the puking Orange Bowl mascot.
And if the quarterback throws the ball out of bounds, you see players like duck.
You see assistant coach catch it and celebrate. Yeah.
I wanted to ask about announcers, though, Jason. One, does anyone chastise you for running up the score? My favorite video game thing. The person's like, a disgusting display of lack of sports.
Well, seeing as I play a shitty Conference USA teams, they don't have that problem. Mm-hmm. Of running up the score.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for bringing it up again, Spencer.
The only thing about the entire game I don't like is obviously David Pollack, who there's one when that
maybe that's there to tether you to reality.
That fucking fullback's running wild on me, and David Pollack's like, fullbacks aren't divas, and I'm like, Jesus, man, this is this is really ruining the mood. Oh, I haven't played in a big enough game yet to hear.
They're trying to make it realistic. They're not making it a utopia, you know.
Mm-hmm. I like that you're trying to earn that. You're like, is David Pollack kind of the game of the week?
Is David Pollack in there like an emotional governor, like to make sure that you don't spend 13 hours in there at a time?
I guess. I'll just mute it. He can't stop me.
Mm. So it is like
also, why can't fullbacks be divas?
Yeah, for real. This motherfucker's running for 200 yards. He better be a diva. He better stunt his whole way down the field. I can't do anything about it.
Larry Setters gets what Larry Setters wants. God,
that's right. Lorenzo Neal demands a massage chair. Jorvorsky Lane requires a PR flack. He's tired of talking to you peons.
I don't know a fullback who ever annoyed himself out of being barred from workouts at his alma mater.
It's fair.
Yeah,
I'm saying maybe he'd know from divas. That's all I'm saying.
Fullbacks wash their hands frequently.
People I have seen in the credits of this game: Matt Brown, Bud Elliott, Stephen Godfrey. Is there anybody else that I'm forgetting that I don't know?
I think there's several from The Athletic, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, I don't remember who though, which is why
I think Max, Ari.
Is Vanini in there?
Vanini better be in there. Yeah.
Not any of us. Interesting.
Well,
interesting.
I can't decide whether or not to reveal a conversation.
Okay.
Okay. I was talking to Ben Howmiller earlier in this week, and I was, you know, just, you know, hey, thanks for, you know, putting up with all of us all this time, blah, blah, blah. And he said that they had a little bit of a mantra going in the office, of which we were a big part, and that they had tried to maintain a sensibility when adding these little details of when a certain element of the game, and I'm quoting here, needed to be more full cast and when it needed to be more split zone. So we're not in the credits, but I can confirm that we are there in spirit.
I mean, like, okay. Yeah, like there are lots of things I could reveal on a podcast that would emphasize that. Mm-hmm. So like, yeah, I mean, whether our names are in there, we're in.
This is by way of saying, please don't go complaining to the EA people that the full cast is not in the credits. We are felt.
No, yeah.
Well, yeah. Our presence is felt.
No, I don't want that.
Jesus, Surrender Cobra's in there. How much more in there could I get?
Also, you already know, if you have complaints about the game,
they go to Godfrey.
At 38 Godfrey. Like,
who made all of it.
He's in the credits, so actually you should bring the complaints to him.
Having said that thing about names, I do still want to be Kennesaw State's default head coach.
Yeah.
Seems fair.
Good.
That would be good. I also like the idea of Bud walking up to people and going,
it is so funny, like, when you're like looking through your school's metrics, your academics, whatever that is, and you're like pro potential and all this stuff, there's one that's like team talent or whatever, and it's evaluated by Bud Elliott's blue chip ratio, and I'm like, oh yeah, I edited the first edition of
that's pretty good. That's good shit.
There's just like lots of little moments like that.
That like we're so, that's and Ben actually I hope that's the is, point I, that I, Ben made, because I just remembered something else, like another direct phrase he said, which is that we're like that whole he's when he says that whole generation, you know, he's referring to, you know, with a couple friends of the program, but in big volume, like heyday SB Nation. But the phrase that he used was that, like, we're all part of the fabric of what they were trying to create here, and that's just a great feeling.
It is.
It is. And I hope it's a come up for everybody.
I hope Bud gets to make all the new Tom Clancy games.
Okay, so when
they would
absolutely they'd
it's
be fantastic.
Rainbow Nine now.
Like, I hope Matt Brown gets a Pokemon. Like, oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, that'd be powerful, and so patient.
Named after Penny, obviously.
Drawn by Penny. Yes.
Yes. I hope that. So, like, when Mike Prada, NBA writer for SB Nation, and at one time, and now beyond that,
where's Mike work right now?
Mike. Would go to
I
summer.
Mike also. There are only two websites. No, one used, there was one called SB Nation. Now there's one called The Athletic. Mm-hmm. That's where everyone works now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you work there. Okay. Congratulations, Mike. I'm very sorry that I did not remember where you worked. I don't understand the internet.
And I vote.
My opinions are not being respected anyway.
Now there's a sticker. I want that sticker. Okay.
Yeah. I do not understand the initial date line, and I vote. But Mike would go to Summer League, and people were like, oh, hey, Mike, what's up? And he was fine, and he was a normal reporter and got the normal amount of access. But then his tweets were featured in 2K and as, you know, content, and he would show up to Summer League, and NBA players would be like, what's up, Mike Prada? Like, they'd seen him in the game, and they were like, oh, he's in 2K. That guy's legit. So they'd walk up and be like, hello, Mike Prada, fellow 2K cast member.
Spencer, who are you going to play with first?
Yeah.
Follow-up question. After you get frustrated with them, who are you going to play as second?
I think I'm going to play with – I've been leaning towards Wyoming. But I'm also sort of thinking.
So
North
I think
Texas
maybe like start as North Texas and
gag quickly. Maybe that's your offline.
Get hired elsewhere because you got to finish the story at North Texas.
Get hired at Bale. I do need to finish the
or
story
or get fired at North Texas.
So,
that works.
I think I have no choice. Buddy, I can
only,
get fired
the only
too.
Thing,
I'm real good at that.
I know that's not in the game and possibly will be added as Hawaii's home stadium for whatever reason.
Ben was talking to Godfrey on a Split Zone episode, which is actually very interesting. And I think
yeah,
it was
for
there
a Split Zone episode,
I think there was it was there that they mentioned that there are a handful of stadiums that are in construction. Vanderbilt's one of them. That it's sort of like they will get updated as the game goes.
So like that's the fun part is
shit'll
get updated throughout the season.
Mm-hmm.
And from what Ben said, by the way, before you complain, this is very awesome. Much in the habit of in the vein of if your school isn't a home field school, yell at your school, not at home field. But based on what Ben told Godfrey on that episode, this was like what your school looks like right now is basically at the direction of the school. Like Vanderbilt apparently for a little while wanted to have the under construction stadium be there this season, but then decided like, hey, let's put the future rendering in there. So the stadium you're going to see for Vandy is what Vandy's future stadium is allegedly going to look like when it's done. And Hawaii, because they're a little more up in the air, they kind of have a generic stadium right now while they're playing at that municipal spot. But that again, it was done like, this was not like EA, in my understanding, was not EA just like plunking things down for people. This was all done in partnership and discussion with the schools themselves.
The other thing,
so if you're going to yell at somebody, yell at your school.
The other thing, and we're not just going to like recap a paywalled episode of Split Zone 2. That would be a very
oh shit, sorry.
No, it's fine. People should go subscribe to Split Zone and listen to the episode. The other thing that was interesting that Ben mentioned was music selection. Specifically licensed music. Like Enter Sandman Enter Sandman's not in the game. And Ben explained
because licensing fees are insane.
Well, and they sort of had to decide like, was something going to be single use or would it apply to multiple schools? So like Seven Nation Army is something that they can put in the game because they know like that's gonna go a million places. But
And like licensing that is expensive, but a million schools use it and The Enter Sandman, despite being like a huge thing, is used in the pregame for one school, which kind of like bumps it down the priority list. But they are hoping to like they said, and I completely understand this, that they didn't want to spend quite this much of this development cycle in court.
Right. That seems fair.
And as a person missing country roads right now, I you know, I'm bummed also, but I get it.
Is Sandstorm in the game?
I haven't heard it, but it is, yeah.
Good, good. See, like, that's the important thing.
Badass. That's Low Country Native.
There was so much interesting stuff in this talk with Godfrey that I really do just want to recap the entire episode, but I'll stop there. There's a lot more interesting stuff about the music that I had not thought about, like the fact that it didn't occur to me that they would have to license the fight songs. I kind of just thought you could just use those.
Well, it kind of varies school to school, right?
Yeah.
I would have laughed if they'd had some workaround like, yeah, welcome to Blacksburg, Virginia, where tonight Virginia Tech is taking on the Miami Hurricanes. And now, a video of Mario Cristobal playing the acclaimed video game Guitar Hero 3.
That's the one song.
And attempting Enter Sandman.
It is creator wrestler rock track number they one just, for Virginia Tech.
Honestly, they should just play Sandstorm.
It's got sand in it, doesn't it?
Sandstorm should be the spackle for every song.
You're entering Sandstorm. It's fun.
They should play Enter Gland Man, and it's one note different.
The Vanilla Ice version.
Or just chop and screw it. Yeah.